Hello again. Welcome back to the Bernie Show here on YouTube. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you yesterday. You know how things come up. So no video yesterday. I'll try to make up for it today by doing a couple of videos. Thank you for your support. We've gone over 5,000 subscribers. We'll keep adding. Hit the like button, leave your comments. All those things will really help me out. And I appreciate you very, very much. And I will also try to get caught up on some of the comments. I had some things come up. It was just very, very hectic. So with that said, let's get on with the business. Well, actually a fun thing. I got some more hats. I know some of you like the hats. I think you like the stories behind the hats. I like this one. This is a 1950 Joplin Miners hat. It was a Yankees farm team based in Joplin, Missouri, and most notable for having a teenage rookie on that 1950 team by the name of Mickey Mantle. I think you've heard of him. I love that. I love the fact that they have a Joplin hat out there and the fact that there was a team in Joplin. I think that's totally cool. So I hope you like that one. That's the story. All right. I'm a day late because again, I couldn't do anything yesterday. Wilson Contreras created a stir when he in effect challenged the front office after the Cardinals played their final home game of 2024. He said, quote, "There's some areas that need to be addressed. I don't know if the front office is going to, but like I said, we didn't come as an offense at all during the whole year. There's a lot of holes throughout the lineup from 1 to 9, and the only thing we can control is to show up next year and keep working." That's part one. He's absolutely right about that, and I appreciate the fact he's telling the truth about the lineup. It just wasn't good. In fact, the lineup, more than anything else, cost the Cardinals a chance to really contend for the playoffs. I may do something on that later today or maybe tomorrow. But here's the part that got the most attention. Again, this is Wilson Contreras after Sunday's final home game of the season. Quote, "As an organization, I think the Cardinals are one of the biggest organizations in baseball. If I was the front office, I'd be hungry to own this division. But we haven't owned this division in the last 2 years." End quote. Yeah, and everybody is, I think everyone, from what I can tell, has applauded his sentiment and has also applauded his willingness to speak out. Because one thing, a lot of franchises, you see players speaking out, you see managers speaking out, you see people telling the truth and just laying it on the line. In other words, not insulting the fans' intelligence. What do I mean by that? I mean, not acting like, well, it was just one of those years. We gave it our all. Everybody played hard. We really competed. We got some bad breaks. And boy, we really like this team. You know, nobody wants to hear that. Okay. You want to hear that the players, number one, are not happy to have this kind of season and to be out of the playoffs for a second year in a row. They're not happy. They shouldn't be happy. And they're letting the fans, they're letting the media, they're letting everyone, including the front office, know about it. And in Contreras's case, he actually called out the front office. So that's even double strength. That's extra strength right there, because you're not insulting the fans' intelligence. Cardinals fans are tired of being misled, talked down to, getting the head fakes from the front office, where their fans are led to believe one thing, and of course the organization doesn't follow through. That's a big, big part for this organization in terms of a problem. I've talked about it a lot. I'm going to say it again. Their messaging is absolutely horrendous. Their messaging is one of the reasons why the fans have turned on them and no longer trust them. There's a lot of reasons. But when you keep basically telling people one thing, do the head fake, then you go the other way, and you don't follow through on what you wanted them to believe, what the heck do you think is going to happen? They're going to be mad at you. So I appreciate Wilson Contreras for saying what he said, although I might want to point out, Tommy Pham, when his first time around with the Cardinals at the end of one of the seasons, you know, this is back in, oh, I don't know, 2008 maybe? Not 2008, pardon me, 2018 maybe? You know, or 2017, pardon me, I should know that. It doesn't matter the year. At the end of the year, you know, Tommy Pham, he was listening to some of his teammates doing the usual, well, we gave it our best shot. Boy, we just had some bad breaks. Boy, all the injuries, you know, all that stuff. And Tommy Pham, who's always been a truth teller, to his own detriment, I might add at times, he basically said, well, the standard around here is to make the playoffs and win pennants and World Series. Like, this is not acceptable. You know, we have to remember what the Cardinals stand for, what our goals should be. So he put it on the line. A day or two later, Joe Mazalek was asked about it and said, and I can only paraphrase because I don't have the quote in front of me, but I remember it very well in terms of the gist of what he wanted to say. It was like, well, I didn't realize Tommy Pham is now a team leader. I didn't know that he's speaking for the team now. In other words, Joe Mazalek was not happy with it. And when was Tommy Pham traded? Oh, yeah, that's right, the next season. And the manager didn't like Tommy Pham either. You know why? Because, again, Tommy Pham told the ever-loving truth. Mike Matheny doesn't want to hear that, right? Bye-bye, Tommy. See ya. And don't forget, also, the last guy that sort of got into the face, metaphorically speaking, of the Cardinals front office was Mike Schilt. And we know how that happened. Bye. See ya. So Wilson Contreras, he's got 3 years left on his contract. So he's got security, I would imagine. But no, this regime does not take too kindly to that kind of outspoken talk from a player. So, oh, man, the Cardinals. In a way, it's a good comedy routine, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing. However, now, I praised Wilson Contreras, and I will praise him again. I love candor. I love truth. I love people that put it on the line and aren't afraid to do so. You might have noticed I'm kind of a big mouth that way. Anyway, that said, and this is not me pushing back on Wilson Contreras, one of my favorite players, someone I greatly respect. It's not so simple to say, well, the front office has to be hungry and to point out they need to get better offensively. I appreciate that he said those things, but it's not, I don't know that it's germane. And here's why. And I made some notes and I'm going to make sure I don't miss any today. First of all, who's going to be running the front office? We still don't know that. And we probably won't know that, obviously, until after the season. And there's talk that they're going to make some announcements Monday. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make the big announcement, right? So who's going to be running things this offseason? Is it going to be John Mazalek? Is it going to be Chaim Bloom? Is it going to be your favorite and mine, Gersh? Is it going to be another executive that is not on our radar screen? We don't know. So I like challenging the front office just to challenge the front office, but we don't know who's going to be calling the shots yet. Okay. Number two, what about the possibility that Chaim Bloom, and we've talked about this, and I haven't talked about this at length, what about the possibility that Chaim Bloom will spend 2025 as the director of player development to have a full year to implement the long overdue upgrades and the long overdue modernization and the staffing problems in the minor league system. This would give him a full year on the ground after studying it a year, but a full year to implement and put it into effect all the things they must do. And then that way, Bloom runs the minor leagues. He gets that part squared away, and then he takes over in 2026. I'm not saying that's my preference. My preference is you need to make changes and you need to make big changes and you need to do them ASAP because you ain't going to sell many tickets if you bring the same people back in place. It's as simple as that. And they're overdue for a change in the front office anyway. Front offices in every sport get stale. My goodness, if Bill Belichick can get stale and basically be shown the door by Robert Kraft in New England, it doesn't matter what John Mozeliak or any executive or coach or manager has done in the past, right? If you have a period of stagnation that's not going to be reversed, you got to make the change. You just got to make the change. It ain't going to happen mystically, mysteriously, magically. You need to start anew. So I'm just presenting a scenario that I could see happening, just so we're aware of all the possibilities. So what if Bloom puts in the whole minor league system, redoes the whole thing, and then takes over? All right. All right, no matter who is running the baseball department, what will the payroll budget look like? And I've told you this. I said lower your expectations in a previous video. The point being, it depends on what kind of season the Cardinals are shooting for. More on that in a moment. But will they spend more? They ranked 12th in payroll this year, 26-man payroll, which is really not out of line of where they've been historically, if you average it all out. Will they spend more? Will they hold the line, be about the same, or will they have a lower payroll in 2025? Well, that depends on what their game plan 2025. Again, more on that in a moment. No matter who, I've already covered this, I'm going to say it again. No matter who is going to be running the baseball operations, and will they play it straight with the fans? Will someone finally be in charge who's going to be totally honest with the great fans of St. Louis Cardinals baseball who have faithfully, loyally, passionately supported this franchise at great numbers for a long, long time? But now they're ticked off and they're letting Bill DeWitt and they're letting everyone down there who has a position of authority know that they're ticked off. You got to earn their trust back. You got to raise their enthusiasm. So it's a situation where I think fans would respect honesty and candor. Oh, whoever's in charge, when they announce all this, whoever's in charge, oh, they could come out and tell you what you want to hear. Well, you know, our goal is we're going to spend money and, you know, we've identified what we need and, you know, we're going to get after it to the best of our ability. We really want to win and blah, blah, blah. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you been misled, right? Not all the time, but a lot of times. They lead you to believe one thing and then they go the other way. I think fans want honesty. I think fans obviously are adults. They understand the evolution of a franchise. This franchise needs some retooling. I'm not putting terms on it, whatever you want to call it. But when you're... if you're in fact going to change the entire regime, and in fact you still have some young players that you need to play, and there's probably more of them coming in 2025, what is the point of giving people the impression, your customers an impression, that you are going to maintain the same goal? Oh, we're going to win. You know, we're always trying to win. And when in fact it could be a transition year, and it could be a year that looks like this one in terms of the final record. But if fans know you're being straight about that, they'll be more accepting. They don't want to be fibbed to. They're tired of the head fakes. They're tired of the double talk. They're tired of the mixed messages. Treat them like adults. Treat them like grownups. Tell them the truth. If they don't like it, that's their right not to like it. But I think more people will at least say, okay, at least they're putting it on the table now. At least they're not trying to sell us a bunch of you know what. Just be honest with the fans. But again, if John Mozeliak's up there messaging next week sometime, I can't help but think that he'll manage to aggravate a fan base that's already plenty agitated. Why would that be good? We'll see how they handle it. Because people are pretty disgusted with this, and not many of you feel that way. Will management give us the old, as I mentioned, let's expand on it. the old, our goal is to always have a winning season and make the playoffs. That's always our goal. And 2025 is no different. Well, first of all, let me speak on behalf of the people watching me speak, which is to say, well, first of all, that's not enough. Okay. That's not enough. The goal should be to build the kind of roster that you can win a division and you could go into the playoffs with roster construction and the kind of roster that gives you everything you need to make a run. There are no guarantees, including, sorry, here I go again. Here I go again. There are no guarantees because if this regime, even if it was given like a $210 million payroll, I'm talking about the 26-man payroll, that doesn't ensure a damn thing, period. So it isn't about spending. It's about getting a lot smarter with the money you had. And I say that over and over again because it's really important that we you don't have to agree with me, we put the priority on the right things. Get smart, then spend the money. Why am I hollering? Because I was off yesterday. Got a lot of pent-up energy. Get smart, then spend. Don't spend stupidly and then have to live with the consequences. Get smart, then spend. Get people in charge, smarter people, have them work up the next plan, give them the budget to spend, okay? It's just not that difficult. There's a long history of misspent money in this organization. It really is. So that's number one. First of all, let's get the goals right. I don't think 2025 realistically is one of those years where you sort of go all in. You're going to make your run and all that. No, I think it's a transition year. However, and again, I think a lot of people would understand that. However, if this is a transition year in 2025, I know what some fans will think because I thought about it. Well, if Bloom is not in charge, if he's not running things, and then if it, in fact, he's going to be the guy, but not until 2026. And again, we're assuming things here, but that's all we can do. If this is a transition year coming up in 2025, but he's still not running things, but he will be in charge in 2026, doesn't that make 2026 a transition year? Listen. As long as they are candid and honorable and honest and forthcoming and putting their cards on the table about what they expect over the next 2 years, and hey, we're just telling you, we want you to know what we really are trying to do here. Some of you may not like it, but we're going to try. We have to do this, 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 and it might take a couple of years. But only a couple of years. And then we should be regroup and have everything in place to where we'll be in that position to spend more money and do more things. By the way, that's not a perfect message. I'm saying this off the top of my head. But it does raise issues about, well, what are you going to tell them? Again, this is where I get back to messaging. What are you going to tell them? If this is going to be a two-year transition, we can push back and say, well, it shouldn't be 2 years because you should put Chaim Bloom in charge now in 2025, if in fact he's your guy, and I assume that he is. So it shouldn't be a two-year thing. And I think that that's a legitimate pushback. Just wanted to bring that up. Other things, let's just say they are open. Getting back to Wilson Contreras talking about the lineup problems, right? And really so many disappointing parts of this lineup. So what do they need more than anything? It's a matter of opinion, but I think it starts with more power. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm assuming Goldschmidt's going to be gone. Arenado's power is diminished. He can still be productive, but not with the big power that he's always had. You don't know if Gorman's going to bounce back. You don't know if Walker's going to have a really good year next year. I like some of the things we've seen. You know, there is Lars Nootbaar, who does a lot of things well, but can he finally put it together? You know, there's a lot of X factors in play here. But yeah, I think they need an outside power source. But here's the deal. If we're talking about free agents, first of all, anybody, and this might include some of you, and I'm not trying to insult you, but I am trying to sort of bring you back into the real world. I mean, I'm reading the other day, reading a comment section in The Athletic, you know, which is really good. They're fun. And it's just kind of like, well, the first thing you do is you go out there and get Juan Soto. You do realize Juan Soto's got some say in the matter, right? Right? You do know that. You do know he's represented by Scott Boras, right? You do know that the Yankees, probably a couple other teams, going to probably offer Juan Soto about $500 million. I may have missed it. I may have missed it. But I never recall Juan Soto communicating to the media. He said, you know, my dream is to play in St. Louis because I want to go to a mediocre team that might be rebuilding. Stay grounded, my friends. Stay grounded. Stay with me here in the real world. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. I speak to you because I care. Then we hear or we throw out the name Pete Alonso. All right. The couple things about Pete Alonso. He's not a kid. He's had a down year by his standards. And if you, he'll be able to get probably a long-term contract from somebody. And I would argue that would be a really risky proposition. We don't know what his aging curve is going to look like, right? The other thing, Busch Stadium has got a rep. I think it's overstated, but there is some truth to it. And by the way, I did not look up the numbers, okay? You know, it's a tough power yard. It's a tough power yard these days. So if Pete Alonso's got some better options and the money at the price point that he wants, why would he want to come here? Because there's some stuff written in New York about how he's kind of frustrated. He doesn't make excuses, but he's acknowledged, hey, man, the City Field's playing tough this year. You know, it's playing tough this year for power hitters. It's okay to point that out. Well, why would he want to come here? And again, why would the Cardinals want to risk again throwing money away, maybe get a good year out of him or two, and then over the cliff? I don't know. Just playing devil's advocate. But again, the players get to choose where they want to go if they're free agents. There are always trades. There's that dude. Oh my gosh, I forgot his name. Forgive me. I'm like Mr. Notes. I got 20,000 notes, but didn't write down the name of the dude in Oakland that we talked about up to the trade deadline. Power hitting guy. He's got 38 bombs now. I mean, he's having a really good year. And I wish I had that in front of me. And I don't want to, like, you know, disrupt the video to go look it up. You know who I'm talking about. Give me a mulligan on this one. So there's always a trade possibility. But again, we don't know, A, who's going to be running the thing in 2025. We don't know if it's going to be part of a two-year transition. We don't know if whoever's running the thing is going to be allowed to spend money. We don't know. Whoever's running the thing, we don't know if it's a situation where they're going to have a year where they're going to just look at as many young players that they have and give them full chances without, as soon as they go, I'm overstating to make a point, I'm exaggerating, as soon as they go like 1-for-12, go to Memphis, you know. They need a coaching staff that can actually help young hitters. So is that kind of a priority for 2025? I would argue it should be a huge priority. You may feel differently. But it's just, there's nothing easy about where you can just snap it all into place. You know, it's a pretty complicated puzzle. And we're not going to have clarity on any of this, or even a sense of the direction, until, number one, we know who's running it, and number two, the person who's going to be running it in 2025 communicates his vision and his goals for the 25 campaign, and whether that person, frankly, will be totally forthcoming, or will it be another, well, we, you know, these fans, we can tell them anything, they'll believe us. You know, is it going to be more of that? Well, anyway, I just wanted to go over some things. There's a lot to think about, but I do, once again, applaud Wilson Contreras for raising these issues, because I This should be a time of candor and honesty and truth-telling. Nobody is in the mood for any more of this hustle, okay? Tell the truth. At least people will respect you for that. I'll be back later with another video, promise, here on the Bernie Channel. And as always, thank you very, very